Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
He's a tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Roberto!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, I'm joined by your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, and most recently, also the host of the annual business meeting for the Seattle Sounders, Cameron Collins. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, especially since the Vegas Grand Prix had the second most passes of any Grand Prix this season. For all that talking that people did, this is going to be terrible. It was freaking awesome, other than the winner. So, and the Sounders are playing in a playoff game this weekend while you're at Depeche Mode. So I'm excited.
Yeah. This is an exciting time for all of us, F1 fans and Sounder fans and Depeche Mode fans alike.
Shout out to Jose for watching on our Discord.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was like, we actually have, we've kind of make fun of ourselves for bringing it up because this is not an F1 podcast, but we love it. And then it looks like a little bit of our love is spilling. Now, he could have been watching F1 his entire life. We don't know this, but he hasn't mentioned it yet in the Discord until now. So, shout out to Raze Jose.
This is Scuttlebutt. We're just shooting it. You know, we just talk about whatever. We'll talk about the fact that I went and saw the movie Thanksgiving. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a new horror movie from Eli Roth. And then I enjoyed it very much. And then I shared it on Facebook and said, great for the whole family. Take them for Thanksgiving.
So you did a trick or treat to get people to go see it. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll watch the preview. All they have to do is click it to watch the preview. It's wild. But I enjoyed that it had a takedown of Black Friday culture, particularly pre it being all on the internet. When people would remember when people used to rush into stores and fight each other and all that
stampede,
kind of stuff,
trample. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole premise of the movie. It starts with that. And then it's someone getting revenge for people being killed as part of trampling.
Oh, so it's there's a moral to the story.
Kind of,
brutality. are you into horror movies?
Oh yeah. I watched 31 throughout October. Oh, look at me. I didn't silence my phone. Real failure there. You'd think my 25 years in radio would have taught me, but Yeah, I love them. I watch 31 throughout, one every day during October, and I've done that every year but one since about 2010, 2009. So
I remember you saying that now.
Yeah, and I used to watch all the holiday ones during December for 12 of them, but I think I'm movied out for a bit. I've been watching TV shows. How about you? What's new in your world? What kind of entertainment are you into besides Sounders?
My wife and I have been reading Hunger Games. I already forget what the subtitle is.
Mockingjay Part 12.
Whatever, yeah. You know, and we loved the books when they came out, you know, 15 years ago. And then read them all and went and saw the movies. And we completely forgot that this one existed. And now the movie's coming out. So
yeah.
I haven't read
it. I think it is out, book. Right? I think it was at playing.
Yeah, it came out last weekend.
I almost moved.
Yeah, we're going to go in a couple weeks.
You know about movie hopping? You know that term?
Where you go
in you go to one movie and then you hop.
You schedule it out so you can just hop across the
Yeah, hallway. They did. They usually theaters do it so that you can't do that, but they had it so that there was one right across the hallway that started right as we got out. But the lady friend I was with didn't want to do it, so I said okay,
fine. Ethical, very ethical.
Yeah. You're not stealing from the movie theaters because they get $0 of first run movies. All that money goes to the studios, and fuck them studios.
Is that why concessions are so expensive?
Yep, because all first run movies, they only get concession money.
Interesting. Okay.
So buy concessions at movie theaters if you want your local theater to survive, basically, because they're not getting any money from your movie ticket.
I did not know that. Will do. Okay. Well, I'm glad we're going. We're going to go see Wish with Gracie for her fourth birthday on Saturday. We did her birthday party a couple weeks ago. But anyway, yeah, that's new. And then I'm going to Depeche Mode. What? I know you mentioned awesome. It, but I am so freaking amped. Yes.
I'm glad I didn't get tickets now because I wanted to go, but I would have had to go to Sounders. I already missed the final game for Death Cab and Postal Service. I don't think I could do it for a playoff game.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm like, Death Cab and Postal Service don't play a game. Now I know what you mean. I get where your point is for that, but like, I don't know. One, Andy Fletcher, one of the founding members, died last year.
Right.
Or was it early this year? Early this
year. I still 2020 in my brain, so I don't even know. It just...
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, but like, anyways, it's just like, I go innumerable amount of Sounders games in my lifetime, right? Gonna keep going to them. Like, yeah, yes, this one might be, if we lose, Nico's last and maybe a few other players. Obviously. But like, this concerts are such a unique moment in your life. Especially for your big bands that you love so much, because it's unique to that moment. Not that the matches aren't. There's just more opportunities to go. This is our home club. I just couldn't like, oh, I'm going to sell my Depeche Mode tickets that I've had since pre-sale and where I'm on the floor. Like, no, I mean, they didn't come to our neck of the woods their last go around. They're getting old. They're my alternate between 1A and 1C bands. So like, I get rock and roll Hall of Fame. Totally. I'm going.
And I'm with you. Like, I think and Nicholas Biello, who's on the show a lot, he's been to more concerts than the two of us combined, and we've probably been to more than
anyone combined, actually.
Yeah, I think he used to follow bare naked ladies around the country. I'm not joking. Yeah. So like, he's been to a million concerts. So, but I know for me, as the fat kid growing up, I wasn't dating, right? Like, women weren't interested in me. I was introverted, so I wasn't like super funny and like the class clown or whatever. So I had two things. I had movies and I had music. So concerts and going to like movies have always been my two, like movies, obviously you can shift time and do whatever, unless you're going to like some grand opening, but they've always been my thing. And they've always like brought me so much joy. Although the older I get, standing for an entire concert's a lot rougher. But yeah,
while I still can do it, like that's why I love going too, especially being on the floor and amongst the craziness. It's just a community, right? It's just like, it's just another sense of community.
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, it's to me, there's nothing better than being live in person and hearing a song you love. And just like it, I mean, I literally get like goosebumps and just like, it's an amazing feeling just to hear that and this excitement and it's almost emotional, too emotionally overwhelming at times if it's like a band I never thought I would see, right? Like, oh, I never, like, this band broke up, and then now I've seen them a bunch, but like the first time Jawbreaker came back, since I never got to see them in the mid-90s, I legit was like crying during the show. It was too much emotion for me to handle. Now I've seen them like 6-7 times or some crazy number, and so now when I see them, like, this is cool, but it's not like I'm that emotional. But there's something about music and the way we connect with it that's so personal, especially music from like our formative years, which is probably why you love Depeche Mode so much, is when you discovered them, it was such a revelation for you. And I have tons of Smashing Pumpkins is a band like that for me, where I'm like, I don't really listen to them. And then I went and saw them twice in the last year or whatever. And I was just like, dang, this is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I only grew up listening to the music my mom played in her shop, her salon, yeah, which she's an 80s kid. You know, yeah, so, but, I mean, 70s, 80s. So, yeah.
You were getting
I had Fleetwood Mac, which I would loved if that was even a possibility. But like Depeche Mode, The Cure, like Nick and I fought and went to The Cure, right?
You know?
Like, it's just, I can't miss out on those. So, anyway, we're digressing.
But real quick, before you get off that, there's a podcast called Ridiculous Crimes, Ridiculous Crimes, singular, and it tells like the story of Ridiculous Crimes. But there's an episode about. It ends up involving fraud and stuff like that, where at a time there was three different Fleetwood Macs, because there was the one that made the albums, but then there was another one that was touring but only had – that didn't have any of the members. And then there was another one that had all just Mick Fleetwood and no one else. And like, so it was this huge thing, and there was lawsuits involved.
That's
and people
interesting.
Charged with fraud. And like, yeah, so check it out, that podcast. I really enjoy it, Ridiculous Crime.
Good shout. All right. I'll listen to it.
You going to open your beer?
I am going to open my beer. That is your Liquid Death. Mm-hmm. Should get them to sponsor since you drink that every single episode.
Come on,
I have two beers left from the 6-pack, which was a variety pack from our local, it's called Grain and Grape, you know, like a specialty wine and beer store. So beer from all over the world and a lot locally. This is fairly local. It's P&W, but it's from Ex Novo Brewing Company, Pearl Haggard, German style Pilsner.
Interesting.
As in Merle Haggard, right? You got it?
Yeah.
German style Pilsner.
That was a deep, like, that wasn't the normal beer opening. It was
Pearl Haggard.
How was that?
Okay. You know, I'm not in the mood for a Pilsner, but the other one's a Christmas beer, and I want to save that maybe for like an episode towards the holidays, like an off-season one.
I was trying to remember.
Good. It is good. I'm just in my cold garage right now. So, well, you know what? It's delicious, actually.
Okay.
It's sitting on my tongue for a little bit longer than I expected.
I had a really good stout the other day from a place in Battleground that had a kind of weird frontal taste, but... like when you first tasted it, but then it smoothed out. But one of these days I'll get some dark beer and join you, because that's what I like. You know, your stouts and maybe your porters.
I'm warming up to those.
Yeah,
I feel as I've gotten older. Like I never really was into them, but there's a time and a place for every style of beer, and I'm more open. I mean, when I was 21, it was Rainier or shots. So,
man,
I have Rainier in my cooler right here.
We were in college. We were drinking kegs of Natty Ice and Natty Light. So getting Rainier is like a step up, man. You haven't lived until you've drank.
I had Keystone days.
Oh,
that's for sure.
There was a real quick. We'll get to stuff. I'm sorry, guys, but for a while, Walgreens had their own brand of like Natty Ice or Natty Light type beer, and it was, I forget what it was called. It was like
winter. Nasty Ice.
It was. It was so ridiculous, but it was like as cheap as soda, like buying a 6-pack of soda. So it was terrible though. So, but if you know, write us on the Discord if you remember what that beer was called, because I do not remember.
Yes, Discord link in the show description. Join us, which leads us to our scuttlebutt. Most of this, I think, should be centered around the annual business meeting that just took place last Friday. And really, Muffin Top Model starts it off. ABM 2023. Anything SSFC perks? Anything Sounders perks, basically any Sounders perks that fans haven't been taking advantage of? Any new news?
Oh, y'all can discuss?
I see what you're saying. Okay, so yeah. So are there any perks that the fans haven't been taking advantage of that exist? And is there anything new coming up that we can discuss?
Why don't we take a step back real quick? Because some people might not know what the annual business meeting is.
Good call.
We may have discussed it. No, we didn't start. When did we start?
We didn't. We started 2 years ago. It's our second season, but we might have mentioned it. But it's worth mentioning annually.
Yeah. So the annual business meeting is the meeting held by the club and the Alliance Council, which is of course your fan government. We are made of and from the Alliance members, which are season ticket holders. So you get. It's supposed to be 25, but there's a glitch right now, so you only need 20. So now's the time to run because it'll eventually go back to 25. You only need 20 votes to get on council, and you just basically have people who are season ticket holders vote for you. If they are...
Is there a limit to how many members of the Alliance Council there can be?
Nope. And we've never... It was really big when I... So I started in 2013, so I'm up more than... Like, we're going into my 12th year or something. I'm about to start my 12th year. So it's the end.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
My sixth term, because it's 2 year terms, and we were used to be huge, but then once Cascadia tickets left Alliance Council and then was just split up amongst the supporter groups instead, anyone who was there for supporter group purposes kind of dropped away. And that doesn't mean we're not parts of supporter groups. We're all, I think everyone in there is a member of one or multiple supporter groups.
Yeah.
But it's more like we're there to represent just all the fans, not, you know, because, you know, Grill FC, ECS, I mean, those are the only two supporter groups now. We have secondary groups underneath us, but we have representation with the club. So that's, it's really, we're there to represent everyone else and not, and we don't get in the way of supporter group, you know, business. That's their own business, nothing to do with Alliance Council. So it's a good change of pace. So we have this meeting every year, and this year it switched up a little bit. So usually it's a much bigger event than it was this year, but I think
big how like
more
big...
more people, you know, it's there was a RSVP that went out and everyone who said yes got to come. But usually it would have been pushed a lot more by the club out on their social medias, cuz that's the way stuff gets it, but they were really focused on trying to create like a special event for fans.
Like a town hall atmosphere.
Yeah, a town hall situation. And so it took place in the regular time frame. And it's, you know, it's part of that democracy in sports ethos that we have as a club, which is amazing. Moving forward, though, we said, well, what is the point of this? Well, it's to interact with the fans and get all the information out there, but less and less people are even coming. You know, we've had huge ones in the past, but every year it's a little bit less. And I think COVID killed a lot of it. Mm-hmm. There's lots of purposes, but we want to make sure that moving forward, it's an amazing event. So we made sure to hold this event. And then starting next year, the council will sit down next business year. So probably January, because our actually elections are December 5th for the council. And then I won't be president anymore. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's running against me. I think I'm going to run, but. We'll see. So after that, December is our first meeting of the year, and then we go into it. And we're going to discuss with the Sounders, how do we make this event bigger, better, re-envision what it is. And then throughout the 50-year anniversary, the Alliance Council is going to be engaged with them the entire time. So we're going to make sure that this is we're not just having it to have it. We want to make it an event that people want to go to, a marquee event for the club. So, you know, I think this one was kind of much smaller and made sure that, you know, it's available to everyone. You can get it now online through the Sounders YouTube or through the website, but also
a link in the show description as well.
Nice. And we want it to be big. So I was on stage and hosted a round table with Sounders majority owner, Adrian Hanauer, Hugh Weber, who is the president of business operations, Maya Mendoza Ekstrom, who is the chief operating officer, Taylor Graham, who is, he has so many titles. He's a CMO. I think he might be a vice president of something. I can never keep up with everything because he keeps changing and growing. And even like Michaela Purvis just has a new position as of like 2 days before that event. So it's hard to keep track. That's who we work with on all this stuff. But, general manager, New Garth, as we call him.
Craig Weibel.
And Craig is a quiet dude. He's not as open and talkative as...
He did not look comfortable on that
stage. Yeah. So he was definitely had to...
Kind of bug-eyed and just staring around.
Yeah, no, he talks. So I got him to talk. But so it was a chance for, you know, people sent in questions. So we had those and we kind of gathered them into which questions did we hear the most. And then people in person got to ask questions and there was a long Q&A that was, I think, like 40 minutes. And then everyone on the stage, I mean, I didn't need to because no one cares to ask me questions, but everyone else, people went up and talked to them and asked them questions. So,
well, they know that they can ask you questions for our show.
Right. They can go to the Discord, right?
Yeah, you don't have to wait annual year.
So yeah, it was a pretty fun event, and you know, I think there were some really important questions asked of the club, and the club gave some cool updates.
So let's get back to Muffin Top Model here. Then, is there anything before anything? Not anything that's new yet. Anything that, like you mentioned during the ABM, the selling back your tickets or giving back your tickets and getting credit for it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing that we do, let alone, you know, just that the Sounders do, that like any sport franchise does for their season ticket holders. Is there anything like that that fans maybe need to be aware of that is already out there for them and then go into maybe something that was mentioned during the ABM that is new upcoming?
Yeah, I mean, I think that... That's like the biggest. We have the most robust return program of any professional team in the United States. You know, I think there's some other teams that allow like 5 or 6, but I think we're 7 or 8, and it's the day before the game, noon the day before, you can return it.
Like an oh shit happens and you can't make it.
You can get full credit, and so it's pretty awesome. Like I just found out, I thought I had sold last night's Kraken tickets, and I hadn't. And so I just found out today that they went to waste, and I was super bummed because I haven't been to I've sold every game before last night, so I hadn't been to a game. I'm going tomorrow because they're playing my old team, the San Jose Sharks. But you know, it's things like that happen. So if you know, if I could have just returned them and then gotten my money back and applied that to my account, playoff tickets, that would have been awesome. I don't think there was anything that way. I think, you know, it's just a reiteration of what is out there. You know, from you know, everyone gets an Apple TV code in order to watch MLS season pass. And that was
that just this year? Or is that going to roll through?
That will keep
indefinitely.
I don't know about indefinitely, but they confirmed it would happen next year. And so every account will get one pass for sure. It was a, and then hopefully T-Mobile has it again. Cause then I ended, that's how
then I can watch games. One.
Yeah. but you know and they mentioned the other thing was that for bars and clubs, like introduce
clubs
to the idea of the Sounders. I mean, if you want to go to a dance club with TVs, I don't know, but because the Sounders are willing to work with them to, because if they sign up for it, it's the same price as it would cost us to buy it, which I want to say is $99 a year. But the Sounders will give them free tickets and make sure to promote them, like when we did.
Like
there ended up being a 18 different bars last the Dallas game away. You could go to, and if you gave the secret password, which the Sounders just emailed to you, so everyone had it, they would pay for a beer on your tab. So everyone got a free beer.
How about that?
And you got to go watch the Sounders. You knew it was going to be on at the bar. And so, in fact, the whole bar was full of Husky fans, and they had to go sit in the corner on one TV because the whole bar took – and it was the USD game. So it was a big game. I was watching it too.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Sounders, it was a watch party for the Sounders there. And they, I think it was either 11 or 18 for that one. There's been some other big ones. But so there's a lot of bars.
That's a clever
Yeah, so the Sounders will work.
Not that they need much of it, but that's a great –
if they'll sign up, and the only way to get it for a bar is if you are on – I think it's DirecTV. But if you sign up for it and pay that $100 for a year, they'll make sure that people will come out and watch it and buy beers there, and they'll give you free tickets to the game. So they made a call to fans, like, if you have a bar you go to and they don't have it, talk to them. We'll figure out a way to make it work with them so that they can get it, and we'll make it worth their while. Just because they want it to be in every bar now that it's on Apple TV and not available here in on regular TV, excuse me.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that
what's
was, that
up
was
this cool. What's coming up next year?
I mean, 50th year anniversary. We're going to see the opening of Long Acres. And so that's going to change a lot of stuff because you're going to have fields there. They envision stuff around being able to watch practices, lots of different stuff like that, which will all depend on, you know, different things. But they're hopeful that it'll give kids better access to players. Which, you know, I think that to me is the biggest way where if you get to interact with the player as a kid, you get sucked in, right? You become a huge fan. You know, getting to meet Ken Griffey Jr. in sixth grade, we were like in the owner's box right behind the home plate at the Kingdom before the game because it was my friend's birthday party and we had a suite up above. And he popped his head in and was like, hey, guys, you know, we're a bunch of sixth graders. He's like, oh, what kind of cake do you have? And Ira was like, chocolate? He's like, oh, man, I'm allergic to chocolate, or I would totally get taken out of the game early and come get some. Obviously, he didn't mean that. But as a sixth grader, that was like the coolest thing ever. Yeah.
Mom, get vanilla, damn it!
And then I think the year, was it that year? No, it was like the next year I got to meet Edgar Martinez when I was an honorary bat boy. And so, like...
You don't forget those moments.
No, you remember. I met Rick Meyer when he played for the Seahawks. And... you know, it's something that's cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing that open and all of that, what that brings to the club. And of course, you know, I don't think I tried to goad him into it, but we did not get to talk about who the DPs were going to be. I was like, come on, man, tell us the DPs. He's like, oh, am I doing that? But we did find out. I think, was it the day before the meeting that Stefan Fry just signed a 2-year extension?
I don't know if it was the day before, but yeah, is it 2 years?
2 years, yep.
Yeah.
So, super cool. And I think it was a lot of answering questions about how do they deal with youth players? How, you know, who's coming up? That kind of stuff. And especially because earlier that day, some of the players that they had been hopeful would be one day moving up, like Wallace Lapley, I think his name was. Like he didn't get re-signed to Tacoma Defiance. So there's a few, we saw a few young players that maybe we thought would turn into something, not stay. But you know, this is time for a new mark to be put on this team. So it's not Garth's team anymore. And I think they've said time and again, we're going to see a youth movement now, and we've got to rely on that.
We're seeing it. We're already seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Josh just got called up to the U22, U21 national team, or U20s, whatever one it's above the 17s. So he just got called up to the World Cup qualifying for them. U17 World Cup going on right now. I didn't notice any current Sounders on the roster or on the lineup when I watched the game the other day, but yeah. So it was just. I mean, so here are the big topics. Let's do it that way. Apple TV, kind of what it's done. We actually have the most subscribers, I think, of any other team, if I remember correctly.
Oh, really?
Kind of
even
where
74,000 people going to Atlanta matches.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. And then, so we talked about the Apple TV deal, what it is, what it's going to be, like how they're going to keep pushing it. Talked about game times where Sounders fans really called for, we want games to be on a regular time. And for like a soccer nerd.
What does that mean?
So you know the Sounders are going to play every Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Now they might play a Wednesday game, but it'll be at this time too. But you know every Saturday there's going to be a game. And so it used to be games would be all throughout Saturday, right? And Sunday.
Yeah.
So you could watch every game unless there was one direct opposite you. Now they like all the West Coast games happen at the same time. So you can only watch one or the other. So you can't watch at the same time. So, you know, people ask about, you know, what, cause you know, some of us, I liked getting up at 9 a.m. and watching soccer until it was time to go to the Sounders game. It was fun. But, what we've seen from the Sounders fans is that they actually have turned out, more knowing that it's a regular game time. You know, that game is going to be Saturday night. You're going to start keeping your Saturday nights open. You're going to make sure that when you're making plans for your kids, you know, birthday parties, soccer games, whatever it is, that it's around the fact that you're going to go to the Sounders game on a Saturday night, because you know that from the beginning of the season, what time it's going to be, what date it is. Mm-hmm. So you can just lock off that time. I'm always going to make myself available at this time.
I mean, which makes sense. I prefer that. I've said before, I love night games.
Yeah.
Like I love the lights. And
a lot of people prefer day, but the players don't. Well, so to me, that, because then the players' day has to start at 5. If they're playing at noon, they have to start their day at 5 a.m. They don't like that. They've made that clear.
And Fry's got to catch the 7:20 ferry. And...
I know. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, it's a...
Plus, if it's 80 degrees out and you're PNW or like me and like yourself, yeah. Like I, sitting yeah. in the sun for 2 hours straight, not ideal.
Yeah. So that was Apple TV. We talked about the 50-year anniversary and Longacre's opening and specific call out to the Alliance Council's hope of a Hall of Fame. So that we'll hopefully have something starting around that next year. We'll find out. But it's something I...
What about a museum?
That'd be like, cool.
What public access will Longacre's have? Do you know?
I mean, I think they're definitely going to have a museum there. They've been collecting stuff for it. There will be some public access, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know. You can probably walk into the atrium. Have you been there before? Haven't you, to Longacre's? Did you come to any events?
I have not.
Okay, so there's a giant atrium, and that's where we held the annual business meeting last year. My guess is that there'll be some areas like that are open during regular business hours, but obviously there's major off limits areas. So, it may depend, like. Are they going to have bleachers? Who's I sadly we ran out of time, so I didn't get to ask this. But like, is Tacoma Defiance planning on playing there? Is that going to be their home stadium? Stuff like that. So we'll find out. But I'm really excited for the idea of a Hall of Fame. This is something that I've been working on 5 or 6 years, I want to say, and it had to be longer than that now. 7 years, and it kind of got swept under the rug by the leadership of the council at the time. And since I've become the president, so I think 4 years now, I've been pushing for a Hall of Fame, and especially around the 50-year anniversary. And we had a whole plan, so we sent that to the Sounders, and we don't need it to be that, but we just want to make sure that it's representative of the fans too, not just, you know, who's Brian Schmetzer's favorite player, put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know, who's Adrian's favorite player who's only owned the USL and the MLS. We want all 50 years of history to be represented.
That's cool. Yeah, if there's only a way people could access the history of the Sounders.
but yeah, I mean, we talked about that. We talked about, there was two other topics, there were some great questions from the audience that I really enjoyed hosting it and being on a stage. You know, some of the best questions came from ECS leadership who were there because one of the things we talked about was and we've talked about it on the show before, of course, was Providence as the sponsorship, the jersey sponsor. Mm-hmm. And so there was questions directly around what is their idea of inclusion and social justice? There was questions around how do you implement moving forward and make sure that some of the disconnect that happened around Providence doesn't happen moving forward. But also, Maya told us about what's been happening And I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I can't quote them. But it's not hundreds, it's thousands. Over 1,000 kids have already taken advantage of the mental health care that they've placed in the Renton School District. Since this started in the like 6 months or whatever, since they've started this program. And it's only going to expand. So that's amazing that you're getting healthcare for kids. Obviously I was against Providence as a sponsor, and I don't wear that jersey. I still would like to get that off and put something else on there, but I do appreciate that the Sounders are, walking the walk for all the stuff they claimed around equity and justice and continuing to ensure that their partners push the envelope in those ways and provide care for people who need it. So, yeah, it's super cool.
Now that, and watching the business meeting, again, link is in the show description to watch it. The full hour and a half is on there. It reminded me how much I love this club. Mm. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. It's in a couple days. We're recording on the 21st. You'll probably hear this tomorrow on Wednesday. But Thanksgiving is known to be the holiday where your family gets together, and a lot of families argue. You know, we're still human beings with different ideals and different political backgrounds and what have you, right? But ultimately, most of us, you know, love our family. You know, you just disagree with them at times and we make mistakes, or they don't think it's a mistake. It's just, this is the right thing for us to do right now, which is kind of the realm of where the Sounders were this year with a lot of us. Was we strongly disagree with this partnership.
Yeah.
We hear you. This is good business for us. However, this is what we are going to be asking of them, their support for our community and our kids, to, one, give them an opportunity give them an opportunity to do something good. I mean, it sounds weird to say of a healthcare provider, but you know what I mean? But based on their history and with, you know, trans kids and yada, yeah, yada, we all know it. But hearing that is, you're right, that is walking the walk, and the fact that that would not be happening, and our kids are the most important. I'm a father.
Yeah.
And the fact that my daughter's going to grow up in a society where mental health is not a stigma, seeking mental health isn't a stigma, having a therapist that you regularly speak to. I have one. My wife has one. Like, we all have our issues.
Yeah.
That we need to work with, our inner monologue. I raise my hand. I beat myself up. I have a problem with that. Right.
Some people that don't have an inner monologue. I know. I'm sorry to ruin your point. I learned a couple years ago that there's people, they just say what comes in their head, and I don't. If you're one of those people, please talk to us in the Discord, because I found out two things that blew my mind. That there's some people that don't have an inner monologue, and some people wipe standing up. I don't understand you people. Talk to us. Sorry, go ahead to your heartwarming
point. Wait, you don't wipe standing up?
You stand up off the toilet to wipe?
I got to check to see if there's poop there. You just assume your wipe's done, and you just pull your shit back up?
No, I look at it.
Well, yeah, I got to stand up to do that. What are you, sticking your head between your legs?
I lean forward. What? Whatever. Get back to your point. They're standing the whole time while they're wiping.
I love how it's going with, like, mental health and yay, and then we totally threw a scuttlebutt in there. We're like, you don't want standing up.
I don't know.
Our show is great. This is why they listen. This is why we have the stats that we do.
I agree 1,000% that it's important that happens. And it's not just important for that program, but because of what they've done and some of the other work they've done, which, I'm not a big fan of Regents because of what they did to me personally, kicking me off the rolls. They no longer provide private plans to individuals. But it's made it so it's been seamless for our players, who then are getting the same level of care and having access to mental health care and other stuff that maybe in the past they wouldn't have had in professional sports. So that's cool too. It's so that you're having these mental health professionals, the sports psychologists that can work directly with our players and I mean, I imagine whether you're Nico dealing with the ego of being benched and let go to one of these young players who's fighting for a position, like, there's things you're going to need to talk about.
And they don't know how to be an adult yet because they're not. And they shouldn't have to be an adult yet. They're just in the world of adults, right? Yeah. Right. So back to my point of just like it, just watching this reminded me of just how special this is to have the democracy in sports that we have with the Alliance Council, the transparency and the town halls that you just had, you know, with our ownership and our C-suite essentially of the club. And they're not forced on to that stage. They want to be there.
They chose to be there. Yeah.
They know this is going to better our club, better our community, and better our business.
Right.
To have this discourse. So
and for me, that's this whole conversation. Yeah. It's like, it's a great event, but how do we make it better? How do we make it bigger? How do we make it more accessible? How do we make it entertaining in a way like, the meeting's cool to watch, but unless you're a huge soccer nerd, you might not sit down and watch the full 2 hours or hour.
I don't
know.
Half. I would strongly recommend just do it. Just invite yourself into this room that they are speaking to you. That's what they're doing. Yeah. They're not speaking to the people that were in that room. They're speaking to all of us. If you watch if you care enough about the games to spend money, then watch this. It's 90 minutes of your year. Then you'll have to do it again next year or go, right?
Yeah.
And I just decided to sit down. It's, of course, there's no graphics. There's no intro. It's literally just cameras on. Here we go. And cameras on and Cameron's on.
Yep. I mean, and that was part of a very specific choice because usually it's presentations. It's somebody standing up there with slides behind them talking. And I said, that's just not... that's not engaging. How do we have a conversation? And that makes total sense to me because, well, I do use slides and I do have notes and stuff like that, which I had notes in my hand. You can see when I'm watching it. But when I teach...
Yeah, let's get you a 3-ring binder, by the way, or something.
When I teach, I want it to be a conversation. And so I think it's important that you learn better that way and you can keep it. The only thing was we had so many topics that we couldn't... I would have liked to delve deeper into some of that stuff. But there's so many topics and people, it makes it hard. Maybe we need to start having each one of them on a podcast episode and talking to them. Who knows?
How about that? Yeah. Well, speaking of topics, there's a big topic we should also talk about. I think this was a good 40 minutes of scuttlebutt, but the Sounders are in the conference semifinals. Are you prepared to talk about a little bit of Dallas and, of course, the big match coming up?
Yeah. To the extent that I don't know much about LAFC anymore. I haven't paid attention this year. But otherwise, yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, then let's listen to the fight song and get to it. Sounders are in the conference semifinals for what did Maya say it during the ABM?
Yes,
the
she did.
12th time out of 14 seasons?
Yeah.
Of 14 playoff appearances or something like that?
Yeah. Insane.
Pretty fucking impressive. Here we are, and we're playing LAFC, who love to play us in the playoffs.
I know. They were very much rooting for our opponents.
Of course. I think, and honestly, who wants to play us right now? We're not playing our best soccer still. I mean, I thought that game against Dallas that I willed into the existence because I wanted to be there. It was my birthday match. Yeah. Your boy got drunk. but that it wasn't a dominating performance. It was a solid soccer match. We looked good. They had moments, but we looked like the better team.
We
still only had the one goal.
Yeah, I thought from a overall perspective, it was our most dominant game of the year. We just couldn't finish. So except for finishing, I don't know if I've ever seen us play a game where we could do whatever we wanted that way. We just couldn't finish. Like, that game could have easily been 8 or 9-0.
Yeah.
And
I think that's where I guess we've seen that so many times. So that's where it's like we're not playing our best soccer. Is my point that scoring goals is pretty important.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for us to score two or three. And
I don't think, did they not have a shot until on goal until like injury time? I think they may not have had a shot on goal.
Ooh, Dallas?
Yeah.
You know, crazy. You might be right. Being also fairly inebriated, and our seats are on the south end, so the first half seemed like, man, we are really dominating this match. And then I guess it seemed a little more slow for me. One, I was a little more drunk, and two, it was way over there. But yeah, I mean, we could have scored in the second minute with a header by Christian Roldan that he just put wide. It did seem like we were more downhill, and that's what we need. And I feel like that is pretty...
Downhill
is what you need to do against LAFC.
They had one shot the entire game.
Are you looking
it
up?
Shot. Yeah, it was on target, but they had one shot the entire game.
Hell yeah. Okay.
And they did have 44% of possession, but I think that's because at the end we kind of let up on the possession a little bit. It was wild. I was super impressed by us and our seven corners to their one. Like, we just, that's how much we were peppering them, right? Like, we kept bringing it down and then they'd kick it away and we'd get a corner over and over again. I was super happy. I was still, you know me, I'm worried that only a one goal lead is going to lead to us, you know, making a mistake. I think I said and got a bunch of likes. I was like, we're one new mistake away from going to penalties.
And I'm always not even just new who, but it seems like we've had those brain farts.
Yeah.
Recently,
we've
right?
Seen from Reagan, we've seen it from Neymar. We've seen it from Alex all this season. We've seen it from all of our defenders.
Yeah. So that's always was in the back of my mind for this match. It's like, we're not, two goals will make this feel dominant, even though the stats show we were dominant, right? And we looked good. We didn't look sloppy. And that's not what I mean. It's just putting the game away never happened. Being the better club the whole time did. But a fluke here or there, we go to penalties.
Yeah.
And that was a go to penalties match. That was an extra time. And that do not want to go to penalties with this club. I predicted it and thought it was going to happen. And I'm glad I was wrong. But yeah, I'm just glad a brain fart didn't happen. And the one goal, which was the goal got deflected by the keeper and still went in. It was on target, but the pass was really the highlight of that play. Was it pressure that got the ball back or just an errant pass out of the back from Dallas? Because it wasn't a sequence of passes. It was, I don't know if it was because of pressure, but I liked our pressure in that match overall.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to need. LAFC is going to do that to us. This is really a good, this is going to be probably the matchup of the weekend, I think. We are the final match Sunday at 6:30.
Yep.
But they play very similar to us. They're allowed to dictate how they play. Their coach, Chirundolo, doesn't over manage them and say each player needs to do this or you're off the field. It's kind of lets them dictate how they're going to play, which is exactly what Schmetzer likes to do. They like to pressure, and they're not going to hold possession a bunch, right? They like to be flashy, and when they're playing fast, they're playing Bawanga, great. Though.
Like he all it takes
golden boot winner, yes.
Place to him, and he's got it. Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that we're the last game. You've got the two Eastern Conference games at 2:30 and 5 on Saturday, and then of course our time, and then 4 and 6:30 on Sunday for Houston Sporting KC, and then us, and you know Houston's versus Sporting KC. I wish I could watch that game, but I'll be at the stadium setting up because those two teams are maybe the two hottest teams in the MLS right now. So for them to go head to head is kind of crazy.
So just on that note, I'm going to go over a Jonathan Segal's article or whatever you would call it on MajorLeagueSoccerSoccer.com. He goes over his predictions of these four matchups. He actually has KC winning that one. 4-3 in PKs is what he calls it. And I didn't know this, and I really hope KC doesn't win, because Tim Melia is a perfect 7-for-7 in penalty kick shootouts during his professional career.
Wow.
And I don't know what the stats are for 7 Fry. I know we have one penalty shootout that really worked out for us and got us a star. But I'm not 100% confident going into penalty kicks. And I mean, that's I don't not like that stat.
We haven't seen Fry be successful in penalties for a while.
Yeah. But and I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves. That's another match. But he has them winning. Yeah. And that's crazy if KC gets to the conference final because of where they came from. Literally bottom of the – I don't know if they were literally bottom of the table, but right there for the first half of the season, and they crawled back. But he also has us winning 2-1 in extra time versus LAFC. And he says, if anyone can stop Dennis Bouanga right now, it's league-best Sounders defense. Well, we should probably say slow down because the Golden Boot, presented by Audi winner, is in electric form, tallying 9 goals, 1 assist in LAFC's last 5 games. And there's every reason to believe Yamar, Jackson, Reagan, and Stefan Fry are up to the task. The extra spice, Seattle get their game winner from Nicolas Ladero in extra time, adding to the nostalgia factor around it reportedly being the Legends last year in Rave Green. And with that, the defending MLS Cup champs title defense ends excruciatingly. So I like that prediction.
Yeah.
That would probably be my prediction. I don't know about the extra time and getting that specific, but how storybook would it be for Ladero to score in, which would then be, if we won, his penultimate home match, because we would get the home match for the final, conference final. But every team on the East Coast has a higher table seating than us. They have a higher record than us.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
So the final is in the East.
Yeah, so we're going to have to go East. And people are already buying their plane tickets if they have the ability to change them, right? Because a lot of people do. If you're like an Alaska. Oh,
okay, I was like, what?
Like you can buy a ticket in Alaska. I guess
you could fly into Ohio because it's either...
Two of the games are in Ohio. One's Orlando and I don't remember what the other team. So off the top of my head.
Philly.
Oh, Philly. Yeah. So,
which you could drive to Philly from anywhere in Ohio.
Yeah. But also, if you're on Alaska and you don't buy the cheapest fare, you buy any of the other fares, you can just change it for just the price difference of the ticket. You don't have to pay any extra. So I know several people who have already bought their plane tickets to Cincinnati.
Well, I like that energy into the universe. But not to get ahead of ourselves, I just thought that I liked that prediction.
Yeah, it's great.
And I was surprised by KC potentially making it. And these are just predictions, right? I don't think I've gotten one correct all year. I've gotten close. But LAFC is going to be a hell of a match. I'm bummed I'm not going to be there. Knowing myself, I will put myself in a bubble. If I doubt there's going to be much spoilers going to a Depeche Mode concert. I mean, they're choosing to not go to the match as well. But
you know, they might be on stage like your own... personal Nico,
or they'll just, you know, have one of the, you know, screens on the back of the stage be the actual match or something.
That would be cool.
No, they'll probably come on later, but I'm gonna be too wrapped up. I'm totally an in the moment person, and I don't
want to mix. I saw Metallica perform in high school at Key Arena, and I actually was a friend had given me a ticket, so I was in a suite, and they came on the stage really late, and I would know why they came on the stage really late, because the Bulls had a playoff game and they were all watching, because one of them, I forget which one, is a huge Bulls fan, maybe Lars, and so they were all watching the game, and as soon as it ended they came out on the stage. So sometimes bands are back watching their sports games too.
Yeah, well, I'd be fucking stoked if Depeche Mode were Sounders fans and, you know, like, hey, we don't have an opener. We're just going to watch the match and then we're going to kick some shit off. That would be amazing. But yeah, I'm not going to be there. So I really hope we win this one, because then I will have another opportunity to go to a match this season, because I won't be flying anywhere.
No, me neither. So you'll get to come to the Western Conference final versus the winner of Houston, Kansas City, if we were to advance.
Oh, yeah. So you said you don't know much about LAFC this year, but
I mean, I know.
What are your feelings on the match? I mean, Dallas is behind us. It's already a week ago, 11 days ago. Yeah. So I feel like we talked enough about that. We got about 10 minutes
left.
And
I feel like we only had two players called up. So they should be back. Nuhu got called up to Cameroon. And I saw after their first game, they won like 4-0. I didn't see what happened in their second game. And then Atencio got called up to the U.S. U21s or whatever. The Olympic squad. That's what it was. Because the Olympic squad used to be the U21s. Now it's not. So I think you have to have a certain number under. But yeah, Atencio got called up to the Olympic squad camp because he might be playing for the USA in the Olympics.
Okay.
But yeah, so Cameroon won. I actually didn't even see if he played in the match. I assume he did because I believe he's their starting team. You know, what position does he play for us? Left back? So they tied their second game against Libya 1-1.
And that was today. I'm looking at where this was
played. And then they won their previous match 3-0 over Mauritius. And is that Mauritania? Am I just stupid? What? That was a good win for them. So they have in two matches they have 4 points with a 3-goal differential. And it looks like Nuhu did not start the game.
Yeah, I'm looking. It was
against Mauritius. So that's interesting. But he did sub on at one point. So he got a 3.8 out of 5 from Yahoo, whoever does the Yahoo ratings. So. Good for him.
I don't know how you could rate Nuhu.
I mean, it's tough. Like he had a great game the other day and made up for a lot, you know, a lot of the mistakes in that first Dallas game. So I was pretty impressed with him in that regard. I don't know whether or not he got any minutes in the other one, which is kind of a bummer, but at least he got to go out there.
He's probably here tomorrow. Right.
Yeah, he did not start, and did not sub on the second game. So he's, and you know, maybe that was part of it. Like we don't want him to get hurt, don't play as much. But, So
World Cup qualifier. I don't know if we would have much say in that.
We would expect him. No, I think probably AFCON qualifier rather than World Cup, because like it's the Euro qualifications that are going on now in Europe. So
World Cup qualifiers group stage match day 2 of 10.
Oh, okay. I would have assumed
January 15th starts the African Cup of Nations.
Okay. So they've already finished with qualifying for that. So it'll be an interesting time. I'm assuming he'll be back. He's missed the last two times when he's come back, the first game.
And that was my point. He should probably be back tomorrow, right? It just happened today.
Yeah, I would assume so. And even, I think, I don't remember what Schmetzer said. There's something with visa issues getting him back into the country or something each time. So he's delayed, but yeah, we've got a full week here, or a business week, not a week, but
yeah.
And I would assume we're going to start the same lineup we did. We've started every playoff game so far.
I'm a-okay with that.
Now Reed Baker Whiting is healthy. I think he's got to be on your bench.
Yes. Yeah. Please be on the bench.
I don't think you start him over Nuhu because he doesn't have the legs because he's been hurt, but I think we see him play for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't have the legs. He's, what, 17 now, 18?
But he hasn't played for, you know, what?
Yeah, he shouldn't start, but he would be a juice of energy. What?
Yeah.
A boost of energy. Jolt. There we go. Along with, you know, Nico coming off the bench. Now, what is kind of a bummer is Raul looked pretty good.
Yeah. I just don't think you're going to play both. It's not going to happen unless you're playing two at the top. And I don't know
how
Ryan's not the kind of person to do that.
I know.
Start a game. I could see him doing it mid game if it were necessary, but
yeah,
especially with the way how defensive we are, because when we did do that against Dallas, now we were pushing really far forward, but that's when we gave up, you know, the third goal was because we were pushing so far forward with two forwards.
Yeah, no, it's the same lineup. And I go with what everyone's been used to. You need to know the space around you without using your eyes. Really, you have to trust your teammates. You need to know their tendencies and where they're at. And this is what we've been doing for,
I think this is the game where Christian, you know, he's been back and playing well, but I think this is a game where he just dominates. I think this is where his presence is going to be felt in a way that we haven't felt in a while.
So it's going to be necessary because Wawonga plays on the left, and his brother Alex is going to need to focus on that. But however, if there's a reason for Wawonga to have to kind of look, I don't know how attack. I know how attack minded. He's gold boot winner, but I don't know how much he plays defensively. Right, that's been Leo Chu's, like, what we've asked of him this year is to play more defensively. But it's not like he's a defensive player. But he needs to. If his attention, his being Dennis, is being brought back into our attacking third because of how well Christian's playing and they need support over there, that only helps Alex, right?
Yeah, Puts him in a better position. He's more of a, I have seen some other games, you know, obviously we played that. I think he's more of a sniper, right? He's the one who's getting the ball sent to him and making amazing shots when he gets the ball at his feet. I don't think he's to the degree that, we expect from a wing. I don't think he's creating a bunch of chances.
I want him as far away from our goal as possible. And well, having Christian Roldan being a dominant player, a dominant presence in the furthest corner away from the goal, he just would attract his help.
He just played on Sunday for Gabon.
Oh, really?
He had a goal and assist. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Almost gets in their 2-1 victory. He's feeling really good.
Yeah, right. And he's got his team, Gabon, in second behind Ivory Coast in the Group F for AFCON World Cup qualifying.
Well, that's fine because you know what? Alex has been playing really, really well. He had a slump there in the part of the season.
Now, we noted it, but without his brother. So I think that's part of what fixed it is his brother coming back now. Now they feel each other.
True. Yeah. So that's my only area of concern, right? I'm not really scared of Vela as much as maybe a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. He's still an amazing player, but it's like seeing
Valeri almost.
Valeri at the end of his career, right? Like, he's
not. Maybe not like the last season of Valeri where he's coming off the bench, but close to it. Like, next year, Vela's going to drop off.
Yeah, it's good for us, but it's for a player that was that talented just 2 years ago, was maybe the best player in the league potentially.
Yeah.
It's quite a drop.
That being said, it doesn't take much for him to unlock something, right? True. He's kind of that ilk where you don't need to run, you just need to put the ball somewhere, and he's capable of doing that. Yeah. So he still needs to have pressure put on him, and I think that's JP and Atencio's job.
Now, I was wrong because Wawonga did have 7 assists. I thought he only had like 4 or 5. But then he also had 4 assists in 8 matches in Champions League, 3 assists in 3 matches in Leagues Cup, and he has 3 goals in 2 matches so far in MLS Cup. So, he actually has on the season, like the season as a whole, he has 36 goals and 15 assists in 46 games.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, he's going to, I think LAFC is going to score. I mean, that's the thing, is they're going to score. They're too good. We just have to put in our goals and we'll be fine.
So we need to score more than one goal.
Yeah, we need to score 2. We know we can score 1. Well, we just got to get that second one.
Here's the thing. When our defense is playing at the top of their game, we could shut down an offense like that. I really believe that. I really do believe that. I think our wings on their, when they're playing, like our defensive wing with Nuhu and Alex, when they are a 10 out of 10, a 9 out of 10 even, they are really, really difficult to play against. Roldan's got that Roldan low center of gravity, great intuition. Knew who's got, I don't know how you, I should even attack you because he's so unorthodox that it's really hard to do anything that a typical player would, you know, bite the deke at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Reagan and Yamar are just literally a freaking wall. They are huge dudes that can also distribute, win the ball and move it forward. And then Fry is one of the best keepers that we've seen in MLS in run of play, defending, saving shots that you wouldn't expect keepers to save, right? And you can only think of like maybe one other keeper in this league that can do the kind of things that we've seen him do.
And this is a good time to mention Fry. You know how we said because he didn't get nominated, it was because we had the best defense. So clearly the Yamar has to win Defender of the Year. Yamar got third in Defender of the Year. This is
what?
Yeah. Yeah, third. Matt Miazga won. So people, the East Coast bias across sports with the Huskies still at number five, behind a Florida State team that lost their starting quarterback and only has one win against a...
Wait, Washington's number five?
I'm assuming we're number five again. We didn't move up past them. So it's pretty ridiculous that the West Coast just gets looked... Because I think they're not watching our games because it's too late. So... Yeah.
No, we're number four.
Actually jump? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Jesus.
Because everyone on TV on Sunday was saying we were still going to be fifth. So I assumed...
Yeah, well, that's not... That's conjecture. No, I mean... We'll talk after this. This is a Sounders podcast. This is
Washington Huskies undefeated. It's Apple Cup week going into Scuttlebutt. I know we have some Cougars that listen. I once told a joke on KJR on the Mike Gastineau show when I was probably 12 years old. I won a bowl of chili from Duke's Chowder because I said, did you hear about the fire in the Pullman Library? The book got burned.
You've said this joke before. Good job, yeah.
Yeah. Apple Cup, baby.
The last Pac-12 one.
They did sign a deal to keep playing, though. But yes.
Okay. So how do you feel?
I'm nervous.
About this match. What's going to happen?
I think we win 2-1. I think we're just too good to not keep finishing. And as long as we play our game and play our defense, I think Bwanga is going to either score or be involved with a goal in some way because he's just that good. I think we probably are going 1-1 late. And I don't know if Nico scores the goal, but I think he definitely gets the assist at the very least on the second goal to give us the winner. I think it's going to be like all the other games where we're up 1-0, then it goes to 1-1, and then we win it.
You know, and I like that. And I like the predict. I mean, you're agreeing with Jonathan Seagal? Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. However, part of me feels like we are living rent-free in LAFC's head. Mm-hmm. It's a different coach, but...
I mean, we were 0-0 down there earlier this year in a game that, if I recall correctly, we should have won, right? I can't remember. There was something that, for some reason, that maybe we should have got a penalty or something that they didn't give us. I can't remember what it was, but for some reason, I just remember that we were not the better team, and then we scored a goal that was taken away, if I'm remembering correctly. So, but we've 0-0 there. This is in Seattle. It's going to be cold.
It feels like a match that what we've both clubs have done in the regular season statistically has no say in the matter. I think this match will live in that 90 plus minutes on the field, and how each club is built foundationally will come to play. And if anything from 10 years ago, God, it's been 10 years since the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl, a better defense, the league best defense, can dominate a league best offense. When everyone plays their role, does their job, doesn't try to go outside their role, I think that'll be key. Talking to Leo Chu, I'm talking to Atencio, and I'm talking to Nuhu. Yeah. And a little bit of Jackson Reagan, a little bit. Don't try to do much, dude. You are athletic enough that you do not have to poke or stab high up the field or make a stupid pass. You know? Recycle it. That's fine. We can build momentum and move downhill. We showed in the last match that we can start peppering. We just didn't have the quality finishes that we would get 8 or 9 goals, as you said, right?
Yeah.
And I think the levy breaks here. If we can play that way, we're going to face stiffer competition than FC Dallas in this one match. But if we keep that downhill mentality, but also keep everything in front of us and make smart passes, when it, the pass isn't there, recycle it. Every one of our players knows how to pass really, really, really well. Nuhu makes some questionable ones, Reagan recently, and Atencio is growing into himself, but he is, he finds himself in the right places, and he makes the right simple passes correctly, right? He doesn't need to do much. Leave it to JP, leave it to Rusnak, who, by the way, is SoundersFC.com, has an article. All of his goals have been game winners. All seven of his goals, including all the playoffs, have been game winners.
That's what coach said after the game. Yeah.
That's a fucking stat, man. Yeah. So
if he scores,
Leo Chu.
Yeah.
Huh?
So if he scores, it's over. That's, we know that.
Yeah. If he scores, the game's over. Like, yeah, you're right. So, so maybe Nico doesn't get the game winner. There's your assist. This is going to be a 3 or 4 goal performance.
Wow.
I think we put it together. I think we finally fucking put it together, because we're the boogeyman to this club. We really are. And I don't think they have the defense to stop what we're capable of, and we have the defense to stop what they are capable of, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and let's not forget that they are not used to the weather. It's going to be, the high of that day is 47 degrees.
Lovely.
The sun goes down at 4:30 p.m. So we're already 2 hours into after the sun's gone down. It's going to be high 30s when that game starts. And it's going to be mid-30s when that game ends. It's not going to be freezing, and there's only going to be a little bit of wind. But it's going to feel like it, because it's going to be a rough game, I think, for LA to come up and have to play in this weather.
Mm-hmm. And they're practicing in Los Angeles right now. Yeah. What's the weather in Los Angeles? I mean, obviously, it's not what we're dealing with, but
it's nothing like it is here. But it's a little warmer.
It's obviously 61 right now.
Yeah,
it was 78 degrees earlier. So yeah, they're practicing in that. You would think they'd come up here a little early, just to, I don't know. But we've been used to this for weeks. Months.
Yeah. Now, like the low today is at 6 a.m. It'll be 56 degrees in LA. So if they want to really do it, they should be out there practicing at 6 a.m. And that will just prepare them for like the first 10 minutes or something. And it'll still be colder than that.
Well, they're at a disadvantage. That's the home field advantage. And that's, I like it. So yeah. I have confidence going in, more confidence into this match than I have, I think, for any of the three against FC Dallas. I think. And the fact that you have three playoff matches under your belt should build confidence within the club and Schmetzer. Just like, okay, this is our lineup. And Nico should be well past the I'm on the bench now. Like, this is what it is. Now let's go fucking do the job.
He's out there celebrating with the fans after the games, signing autographs. Like he's clearly like, this is for the fans now. He gets it. And I think that will show on the field too.
Right on. Cool. Well, I'm complete. Are you complete?
Yeah, I think so. I think one more race in the F1 season. So if we make it all the way to the MLS Cup, we're not going to have F1 to talk about. We better find some other random sport to talk about to piss off our listeners.
Well, what we love about F1 schedule is it's basically identical to our MLS schedule. Actually, a little sooner we start getting to see. Actually, this last year for MLS, we were starting in January, which is fantastic. Not going to happen this year, not until 2025 with Club World Cup. But now it'll start back up in a couple years, and Lewis will get his eighth title finally. That'll get rolling next year. But yeah, if you're into F1, Abu Dhabi, probably the most boring race of the whole season. But there's some fun.
It's
second,
Monaco.
Third place stuff.
Monaco's the most boring race. You know that. It's because it's a historic course that people like it. But it's just, as some people say, the fastest parade on the earth. That's the most boring one. Come on.
That's a fair argument. But at least it doesn't matter.
Vegas, baby. All right.
Vegas was fun. Vegas was fun.
Yep.
Where can they find you? Well, James will bring us into port here.
Yeah, you can find me at Legal Minded Punk on all of the social medias. And I'll be at Flatstick before the next match. I'm sure probably Nicholas Biella will be there. So look for me there and come say hi.
And I am on Twitter, X, at Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. And I will probably be at my old favorite watering hole, Streamline, in Lower Queen Anne. And on Sunday evening-ish, well, ish, but it'd probably be there around 5:30.
Streamline's pretty great. I miss that place. I used to go there a lot.
Yeah, it's was previously kind of what First Avenue West, and now it's by Second Avenue. And
last
Roy
time
Street.
The Seahawks played on Thanksgiving, like they're doing in a couple days here against the 49ers. Last time they did was in Santa Clara against the 49ers. Uh-huh. I watched it at Streamline.
Oh, really? All right. Well, yeah, I'll be stoked to see my old bartenders there because I used to run the hotel a couple blocks down the street from there. So it was my get the hell away from my guests, go get a beer, and shoot the shit with my people. So happy to be there again just before I go to Climate Pledge. And I'll try to successfully stay in my bubble. I'm pretty good at it. But I would love, if anyone's going to Depeche Mode, hit me up on the Discord, and I'll try to meet up with you.
You know,
great.
What's nice, though, is you could always just watch it on your phone while you're waiting for Depeche Mode.
I can't. You know I can't do that. I will be, dude. All right, so I have found in my own library live versions of every song that's on the set list except for the Memento Mori songs because they just...
I'm not saying while they're playing. I'm saying until they go on
stage.
Hold on.
I'm telling you how in the moment I am. I am how prepared I am for this concert. That's all I've been... I haven't been listening to podcasts. I'm just constantly... I know all the words to all their songs anyway. But I will be spending all of Sunday in Depeche mode. And literally when that concert's over, as the adrenaline is coming out of me and I'll be listening to their music on my way home, I'll be turning into a Sounders freak again. So I'll be able to do it. I've only gotten spoilers a handful of times in the decade
of... Don't worry.
Of
I will not ruin it for you unless it should be ruined.
I don't even know if I want you to do that. I think for this, I want to feel a terrible loss if it happens. Okay, but no, I won't be watching. I can't do that. I'll be in the moment. I'm a social butterfly in these kind of moments. So I want to be hanging out with people and talking to Depeche Mode until I flip the switch. Let's flip the switch, James. Take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.